Blog Talk Radio.
That is how I push this.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast on blogtalkradio.com. It is Sunday, January 24th, 2021, and it is championship weekend in the NFL, which is my favorite time of year. I know Christmas is great, too, but this is my favorite time of year. We are the Unsung Sports Grid on the Ear to the Ground Sports Network. Buddy Andrews is going to see what we need today, but pinch hitting. Filling in, as we got a deep bench here on the E2G Sports Network, is guest host Ryan Beatty, and he's our before we do depart within the hour. So let's bring him in. Ryan Beatty, John Kern here. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Looking forward to some good football today. These games can go either way, and I'm super excited to tune in.
You got it, man. Your input here on Championship Sunday on the Sports Network. 516-387-1702 if you want to join. We're talking a little football. You can sprinkle in whatever you want because we kind of all trades. Sites. I want to start right here in New England. There's this on NFL.com, and I'm clicking on the link right now. And it clicked. It said the Patriots considering for Stephon Diggs prior to the Vikings and Bills block deal. And we saw what happened with the receiving core this year. And this is something Patriots fans don't want to wake up to this because it's just so bring everything up. That's a good bank uniform. Right there.
Yeah. Sorry, it was breaking up a little bit. I mean, this is some real tough news to hear. Imagine Stephon Diggs in our offense right now. It would be magical. I mean, I don't know the last time we've had such a strong receiver. Probably Randy Moss is probably the last time we had somebody that was that dynamic and being able to go downfield. Being able to be somebody to depend on in the red zone. Obviously, we had Gronkowski for all those years, but, you know, Edelman's great. He's not a deep threat as much as a Stephon Diggs, and it's tough to hear that this was going on and we could have had him on our roster.
Great.
Yeah, I'm having some difficulty hearing you. It's breaking up in and out, moving around, trying to get a better single.
Yeah, and you were fine before we started this adventure. You keep me posted, okay, and we'll go up. If not, we'll have to reset. So we can do it if you want. But yeah, so 21. It's Sports Network. We are. We want to join us. Please reach us at 516-387-1702. Ryan, also Patrick Mahomes, big story today with him allegedly having a turf toe injury. We heard all about the concussion. This is big news if you're much less if you're an NFL fan, because this could have a direct effect on the game itself.
It definitely could. I mean, turf toe is one of the most gruesome injuries for somebody to play on, because it's just constant pain and he's not going to be as mobile as we're used to seeing. I mean, how many times does Pat Mahomes scramble on a 3rd and 10 to pick up a late first down and really crush a defense? I don't think he's going to be able to do that today. You know, being limited mobily is going to cause him to get in trouble sometimes, because he's used to using his feet to get out of situations.
Agree. And turf toe, as you know, I mean, it's sprained the ligaments which are surround the big toe. And if you're mobile, you're jumping, anything, ballerinas get it. It happens in all athletes. Basketball players get it. But that's usually an injury that can keep you sidelined for a while. Sometimes it may need surgery with the ligaments. So having said that, this kind of changes the outlook a little bit. And if you're Buffalo now, you're looking at your chops at this if you're their defense. to come in and do what you can to stem this, to just to kind of, to offset it. Because, you know, if he's not 100%, which it doesn't seem like he will be, even with that injury, I mean, at the levels of playing field with a Buffalo team that's won 11, is 11-1 since they lost to Kansas City in week six.
Yeah, this is a new Bills team. That first matchup, I think there was a lot of nerves, you know, playing the defending champions, but they've really grown some confidence, and this is going to be a completely different ball game. I mean, their defense is playing well. Their offense is up there, the best in the league right now, and I'm just very excited to see kind of two Titans clash.
No question, and two Titans it is. Another story, too, making waves, is that it looks like Matthew Stafford is out in Detroit. There were rumors of him coming here to New England to be with the Patriots, maybe to bridge gap, if you will, to a younger quarterback and put in the system. There are rumors now that the Colts are the front runners for Matthew Stafford, and that's a pretty good offense for a guy who was the overall number one pick back then. And the quarterback situation in New England just continues to be a mystery in here. And with him signing elsewhere, that takes one of those notable guys who you knew was going to change atmospheres and change cities off the Patriots' radar.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really interested to see what Matt Stafford can bring to a new offense. I mean, this guy has been in a hole in Detroit for so long. I mean, we don't really know what he's capable of, because he's just been limited with his options. You know, his defense has been horrible for 10 years now. And I really wanted to see him in New England. If the rumors are true and he's headed to Indianapolis, then I think the Patriots really missed out on somebody that can come in and fill in a void right away.
Now, Ryan Beatty here with Johnny Centrix on the Ear to the Ground Sports Network. NFL Championship Weekend, which is my favorite weekend of the football season. We are the Unsung Sports Grid, and if you want to join us, please do. 516-387-1702. I'm staying as mobile as I can so we don't lose connection again. But we're talking championship football. We'll get into a little basketball with our resident basketball guy, Ryan Beatty. Ryan, what's your take on that? Because I never got your take on the whole Patriot situation with the quarterback. Obviously, the year ended much unlike any other that we have. And you as a Patriots fan, I'm assuming you're a Patriots fan. What's your take on the quarterback situation with Newton? And what would you like to see happen next year, be it draft someone, bring some guy in to kind of fill the gap for a couple years, like a Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I want to shoot for the stars. I want to bring in Deshaun Watson. That would immediately make us a Super Bowl contender. But being realistic, I would love a Ryan Fitzpatrick. I want to see them draft somebody. You know, Belichick definitely has the capabilities of finding a dark horse in the draft. I mean, obviously, Brady, Garoppolo. Those are two guys that really came out of nowhere, and I want to see that happen again this year. I thought that might have been Jarrett Stidham, but in his short time, it looks like he's not ready, and we need to draft somebody for the future and fill in somebody like Ryan Fitzpatrick for the next couple of years, just to kind of get that new rookie acclimated to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. And that seems to be the thing. You know, you talk about Belichick, and he's getting older. You wonder what his coaching window is. And say it's 3 to 5 years. And 5 years to me is an extreme. I think he's here maybe 3 at the most, maybe less. That's just my educated guess, because he's getting up there and he's done a lot. And his legacy is cemented, in my opinion. I mean, granted, he's taken the beating of some of the fan base here because he had his a losing season, and maybe didn't do his best coaching job in a year where it was unlike any other with COVID, and they didn't have that time. And it, you know, that whole staff was taxed because it hadn't been anything they'd been through. This organization now is at a point since Belichick's been here, and it's been 20 years, where they really have to build this team. Belichick inherited a team with the Delorean Malloys, you know, with Ty Laws, and there was talent on this team when he inherited it, and he built through free agency, not necessarily through the draft. But now it's almost like they haven't hit rock bottom, but it's uncharted territory with this organization on where they go. You mentioned Deshaun Watson. He's a guy, if you have to pick the phone up if you're the organization and at least make the offer, and you give up whatever you can for that guy, because if he's as good as drafting a quarterback out of college that you think could be a successor and a success in the NFL, because he's only been around 4 years and he's NFL proven worthy, I think you empty out everything you can, the whole tank, to get a guy like Deshaun Watson in here. Instant contender, and that's where it starts. It's a quarterback-driven league, and he's by far the biggest prize on the market.
Absolutely. And, I mean, the way the league is going, you need to have a mobile quarterback, somebody that can pick up a late first down, somebody that can huck it downfield. I mean, look at all the you know, not the older quarterbacks, but the newer quarterbacks in Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson's a little bit different, but all of those guys have the ability to escape sacks. And I think that's just the way the league's going. It's morphing into more of a college atmosphere with, you know, a lot of run-pass options. And that's what I think Belichick was trying to do this last year with Newton. It just wasn't working. He wasn't the downfield threat that we needed. And I think this offense needs some major tuning up. We have – I don't want to put all the fault on Belichick and Newton, because we had no tight ends. We had Jacoby Myers and Damir Bird were our best receivers this year. And those names do not jump out at me as some guys that I want on my team to be the stars. I think there's just a lot that went on in the off season with guys opting out. Obviously the Brady aftermath was big for this team, but Belichick was in a tough spot. You know, he had a very limited roster, and for a little bit of time, I thought he might have been able to get us into the playoffs. And as a fan, I was pretty satisfied with not laying an egg this year. I mean, we didn't make the playoffs. We didn't have a winning record, but we didn't go 3-13. You know, that's where everyone expected us.
Yeah, agree. But there's a lot of work to do. And again, with Watson, because you know Miami, you know the Jets in Miami. I'm not sure Miami, but the Jets are picking up that phone with the second overall pick with Watson. Because, I mean, there were rumors that they could keep Bradford there. Who knows? But if you have a chance to get to Sean Watson. It's Darnold. I love Darnold a lot, but Sean Watson, I think, is a step above. And he'd be a celebrity in the New York metropolitan area. So if you're a Patriots, you got to make the call just to keep him out of your own division. Because he goes to that division, man. You're the Patriots on a rebuild, and you're looking up at Buffalo, Miami, and maybe the Jets for the next few years. And you want to talk about Belichick, the coach who could be there only for a few. He needs to get better quickly, depending on what he does, and if he wants to set this team up down the road. And they're going to need a lot of help through the free agency and the draft. And again, it's an interesting off season with New England, because there's so many pieces to fill. And it's kind of intriguing in a way, because it's something that you haven't seen in, you know, your adult life. You're a young kid, and it's changed for you. It's changed for a fan base. But the Patriots right now are like the rest of the NFL. You know, they have their issues. I mean, it wasn't like they could roll out of bed and win 6 games in the division and you know, a couple, you know, win a game in the playoffs and go to a championship game. It's a lot more than that now, and it's pretty intriguing from that standpoint.
Yeah, and the interesting part about Deshaun Watson's contract is he has that no trade clause. So if he's not on board with the team that he's going for, he can say no, and then Houston's still in that awkward spot of having a guy that doesn't want to be there. So it's really in Deshaun Watson's hands, and if they want to entertain a New York Jets trade offer for a lot of draft picks, I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to be interested in going there. I mean, he's at the point in his career where he wants to win a Super Bowl,
right?
And going into a full rebuild is something that I don't see. I see him going to a team with potential, with deep threats, and I just don't think the Jets are a fit for him. I can see the Dolphins. They're an up-and-coming franchise. They took a lot of forward momentum this year. Their defense is one of the best. I don't know. It's really going to be up to Deshaun Watson and what he's interested in. He definitely doesn't want to be in Houston. So I'm tuned in to see where he ends up.
And he had put a little pressure on himself, Ryan, too, because he was outspoken. I guess the organization promised him, you know, to have some say in who they take in as GM, who they want to bring in personnel-wise. And being a four-year guy, the organization promised that. So there's going to be pressure on Deshaun, and I think he can handle it to go to another team and to perform as well. I mean, he's coming off. Man, if Houston was a contender this year, he's right up there for the MVP consideration. Talk about a bright spot in a dark season. He just performed on and on, over and over with consistency to the tune of an MVP type year with a Houston team that was really, really, really poor defensively. And organization-wise, they just don't have it from top to finish. So I think there'll be a little pressure on Deshaun, no matter where he goes, to continue performing well. Having said that, 4 years in, I mean, he's as good as any draft pick coming out. I mean, if you're a team that's looking for a quarterback in the draft and you get a chance to go up there, you do what you can to get him in because he's going to be better than any draft pick if you're going to look to build and that quarterback position on the center. So it's going to be real interesting there in Houston. But he's Ryan Beatty. I'm Johnny Sunchips. This is the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast. It is January 24th, Sunday, as we trudge through the month of January in a cold, wintry day here in the New England region. It is NFL Championship Sunday. Again, the E2G Sports Network. We are the unsung sports grid. Again, Ryan Beatty joining me. And if you want to join us, you can at 516-387-1702. But before that, I need to talk about something. The Cozy Nook Restaurant, 645 State Road in Westport. Hey, listen, folks, we all know the restaurant industry has taken a major hit during this COVID times. And people don't realize that outside of government, the biggest corporation in America is the hospitality industry. And these people down here, mainly Stanley Manchester, Jeff and Cheryl Abrams, they have embedded themselves for 48 years in the local community here with a passion for their product. They provide home-cooked meals using fresh and local ingredients. Fresh and local. Local is where you want to go if you're a restaurant. They take care of the community here. They take care of food banks. They donate part of their proceeds every week to different places here, the Westport Food Bank. So they take care of what they have to do in these COVID times to help people in a time of need. Again, Jeff's dedication and such. This guy actually goes out and hand-picks his own seafood. He hand-picks his fish. Oh, by the way, the fish and chips, the best in Southern New England. The clams, the scallops, the shrimp, they only get the best for you, the customer. They have daily specials every day. Tuesday, Charisse Chow Mein. They have lasagna on Wednesdays, amongst others. Fried clams Thursdays with a baked stuffed chicken breast. And if you like that, if you're hungry now, you're going to eat even hungrier because they have a seafood trio on Friday. Fish, scallops, shrimp, baked or fried. And I'm a guy who likes to watch his girlish figure, so I go baked all the way. It is succulent. It is savory. It'll leave a great taste in your mouth. Saturday, a Portuguese steak sandwich. Whoa, with an egg on top of it. Doesn't get any better than that. And they also have prime rib, large, small cuts. Check them out on Facebook. Like them. Follow them on Instagram. Check it out for yourself. Go to CozyNook.com. They have a full menu and daily specials available for you. Takeout. They are following all the guidelines in this COVID-19 day and age, and they are seating at 25% capacity. They are closed Sunday and Monday, open Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 8, 675-5455 in the 508. Once again, that's a Cozy Nook Restaurant, 645 State Road, Westport, Mass., 508-675-5455. Call them, tell them Johnny Sunchip sent you. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. There you go. Good stuff there. And I've had that fish and chip, by the way. Dry batter. Best ever. Best fish and chip ever. Had to say that. Now I'm hungry, man. All right.
Me as well.
Anyway, let's break it down, shall we? I wish you had some football music. But yeah, let's get into the matchup, man, as we will. We'll pontificate. All right. Obviously, the first matchup. And I can't wait, Ryan. 305 can't come fast enough. The Tampa Bay at Green Bay, rematch of the Week 6 game. Green Bay got shellacked by the Bucks in Tampa, 38-10. They've gone 10-2 since. Patriot fans. But, Ryan, who are you rooting for today? Are you rooting for Brady? Are you rooting for Green Bay? Head and heart. And I know this is tearing a lot of Patriot fans apart. Me, I'm not a diehard Pats fan. But here's what I can't understand. How first of all, it was a great marriage, Belichick and Brady. And a lot of the Patriots fans, and I want to know how you feel, Ryan, a lot of the Patriots fans are choosing. It's like, who's good, who's bad, face or heel in the wrestling ring. What's your take on today's game? And are you rooting for Brady because he's in a Bucs uniform, or does that matter to you?
Doesn't matter to me. Tom Brady has given me probably the best sports childhood a kid can ask for. You know, I'm 23. He's been with us for 20 years and 6 championships in 20 years. I mean, this is his 10th AFC championship, or not AFC, but championship game now. The guy
14th, I think. 14th championship game, I think.
14th. Forgive me, I was wrong.
No, it's all.
That's an amazing stat. And, you know, yes, it was a tough day when he decided to go to Tampa Bay, but he's gotten my respect, and I wish him nothing but the best. If Tampa wins a Super Bowl this year, I mean, him and Gronk, it's going to feel like kind of like checking up on your ex-girlfriend, but it's something that I still want to see, and I hope they pull. I'm rooting for them tough today. And,
yeah,
you know, Brady in the snow, it's going to be another magical game.
I agree. And, it's, you know, it's great theater, man. And this is one part of, you know, you talk about, you know, when you get to the AFC with the two young quarterbacks and Josh Allen and Mahomes, and here you have the dinosaurs. I mean, and you know, you had Brady, if he goes to a Super Bowl, it'll be his 10th in 20 years. That's in 21 years. That's insane. And that goes to tell you how spoiled Patriots fans are because of what they had. And I think there's a little jealous envy there because now we can do it with Tampa Bay. The people who don't want Tom Brady to win today, they'll be jealous because he's not here in New England doing that. I'm not sure they would have gone to this championship game with the Patriots. My opinion is they wouldn't have. You have Green Bay, and you have Aaron Rodgers, who I think knows his place. In he needs another Super Bowl. He needs to have a crooked number in Super Bowls to put himself in that echelon of some of the greatest quarterbacks to play. And we know what he's done, but in this day and age where we measure the greats in the, under center by their Super Bowls, appearances, and rings, he hasn't been to one in 10 years. It's his first one at home. And he hasn't fared well in championship games. He's playing in the second conference championship. He has a 1-3 record with 6 TDs and 7 interceptions, the Aaron Rodgers, in 4 career NFC championship games, all of them on the road. But he has something to prove today. He really does, just to get there.
I mean, you make a great point. And I think a lot of people are overseeing this. I mean, Peyton Manning had the same difficulty. He had one Super Bowl for a long part of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And he's faced all the pressure of, you know, he's fallen on his face in the playoffs this many times. And why is Aaron Rodgers getting that slack? A lot of people are still saying Aaron Rodgers is the best player in the NFL, and that can be true. But what has he done? You know, he's won one Super Bowl. In the last 5 years, I can think of 3 playoff games where he just fell straight on his face.
Yeah.
And why is he getting the benefit of the doubt on that? I mean, any other quarterback is getting absolutely roasted on by the media and by analysts throughout the world. Why is Aaron Rodgers any different? He's had an amazing year. Today's going to be a giant test for him. If he wins, he'll quiet some people, but until he has that second ring, I'm not saying that he is the best in the league yet. Absolutely not.
No, and here's I'm a talk radio junkie, obviously, sports radio. And here's what I've heard all week long, and I totally disagree with it. He's not emotional. He's pretty kind of low key, monotone in all the interviews he does. You know, you can argue lack of sense of humor. He comes across as being arrogant, but we don't know that because we don't know him for sure. There's been cases where he can be a little cantankerous. Oh, by the way, every quarterback does that. Brady did it last year. We saw what he did in New England. But the rhetoric this week with Aaron Rodgers is that. He just doesn't have the drive. He doesn't care about winning. All he cares about is stats. And I'm like, come on, man. You're telling me that this guy doesn't care about winning? I mean, you don't get to the level he is without caring about winning. It's all about stats. So that rhetoric, to me, is just throw it out the window. This guy knows where he is. He really does. I want your opinion on that. Because that's all I heard during the week, Ryan, was he doesn't care about winning. It's all about stats. So therefore, he doesn't give a shit about this game today. I mean, that's crazy.
That's a poach. There's no way that's true. I mean, I think we've all played sports in our time, and you can have a great game and lose the game. You still have an empty feeling in your stomach. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers, he's very competitive. You can see the emotion when, you know, guys screw up. He's getting on his teammates, and I believe he definitely has a void of, you know, performing well, but I think winning's definitely his main mentality, as to 95% of professional athletes. You know, that's a really unfortunate thing that came out. I don't think that's true at all. You know, winning a Super Bowl has got to be the best feeling in a lot of pro sports, and I think that's his motive each and every year.
Right. He's Ryan Beatty. I'm Johnny Sunchips. This is the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast. 516-387-1702 if you want to talk some football with us. Again, 516-387-1702. Patriots fans, who are you rooting for? We're live at 10:26 a.m. on Sunday morning, the 24th of January. Again, we have the Unsung Sports Grid. Ryan Beatty, Johnny Sunchips, breaking down as we can the NFC and AFC championship games. You know, you talk about Brady's appearing in his Tampa Bay is appearing in their fourth conference championship game in their franchise history. Brady's been hot since week 13 at the bye week. He's 6-0 with 16 pass TDs and one pick. And oh, by the way, that's just him getting into gear. You know, you talk about flipping a switch. We saw him do that big time this year. I had the pleasure of spending some time with Jarvis Green last night, and he's been a two-time Super Bowl champion for the New England Patriots, and he's a good friend of ours here on the E2G Sports Network. And I asked him a simple question, and I kind of didn't take him long to answer. I said, Jarvis, what's tougher to do, to get to the top or to stay on top? And he just didn't even hesitate. To stay on top is what he said. And that's where I want to get to Brady, to what he's done to go to all these games and to still have that hunger and vigor. And you can call him a sore loser, but there's a competitive edge in him that has sustained and maybe put him above and arguably the greatest athlete in any sports in our lifetimes. But that's what I love about him, the competitive edge to get up there and do it again. It's maybe easier to do when you lose because you still have that drive and you have that will to get to the top. But there's no complacency with this guy. He's won six Super Bowls, going for his 10th Super Bowl appearance, his 14th championship game, and the hunger is still there at 43 years of age, Ryan. That may be one of the most impressive things to me about TB12.
Yeah, and you know what I think motivates him the most? The New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three games that I know he thinks about every day, and that's what keeps pushing him. He's 43 years old. He looks like he's 27. You know, he's definitely pushing to continue this trend. You know, he denies that he wants to do it without Belichick. That's not the ulterior motive. But in my greatest feeling, I think he definitely wants that. He wants to cement that legacy as the greatest player of all time in any professional sport. And if he does this year, I put him over Michael Jordan. He's accomplished too much to pull that away. I mean, he has brought the Patriots from a nothing franchise to six Super Bowls. That's amazing. It's an amazing feat. And if he goes home to Tampa for a Super Bowl today, that's a great feeling. And, you know, a home game in the Super Bowl has got to be an uplifting momentum.
No question. And you talk about Brady and Belichick, and the whole thing was when you knew this relationship was fractured, in my opinion, it was when they traded Garoppolo. I think that really was kind of, you can argue where the beginning started, but to me, that was when it all started. That was when the music died, so to speak, in New England. I think the dissension was all well, and I think we all knew of that. There was something going on more than meets the eye with, you know, the three-headed monster known as Kraft, Belichick, and Brady. And my opinion was, and you know, these athletes and their coaches have egos. We know that. That's part of the deal. Say what it is. It's what makes them successful. Now, the whole rhetoric that, you know, was it Brady or Belichick? They do it together. And with two egos like that, I think each of them wanted to prove to themselves and to the world that they could do it without each other. And Brady's one step closer to really separating that Brady-Belichick umbilical cord and winning without Bill Belichick, and maybe, you know, kind of leapfrogging Bill as who can do it without someone first? You know what I'm saying? If Brady goes and wins the Super Bowl this year without Belichick, he separates himself from Belichick and the legacy that they've had entwined together for 20-some-odd years.
Yeah, it's a sad thing to say, but I think you're absolutely right. The rumors came out that Belichick was willing to move Brady instead of Garoppolo during that year, and that really rubbed Tom the wrong way. You know, somebody that it seemed like Bill was ready to kind of move on from. You know, Belichick's known for knowing when players are done with their career. If you think about all the guys that, you know, kind of got traded away, got released, and, you know, they didn't do anything since then. He was wrong about Brady. I'll say that. He's still got a lot of fire in him and a lot of winning still. It was just a tough situation, a terrible off season to go on for a very tough year in America.
Yeah, no question. I mean, and maybe that's part and parcel and postage stamp, or just sort of a microcosm of what's going on. You talk about sports being a microcosm. We knew it this year with COVID and all that went on. But I know that marriage. But here's my opinion with that as we move on with the breakup. You know, I think Belichick's, if you're a head coach, your duty is to put the best team on the field that gives you the best chance to win. That's what he's all about, the team. I'm putting the team in the best position to win. And I think that's going back to what the whole Garoppolo thing was. I think Bill at that time was looking, okay, do I want a couple real good more years of Brady, or do I want to cement another 10 or 12 years with Garoppolo? And I think, you know, as Bill Belichick as a coach, he has to do what's best for the team. And we've seen him part with some of the big players, none of Tom Brady's stature, but the Lawyer Malloys, the Logan Mankins, Richard Seymour as well. You know, trying to looking out for the future. And I think that was the whole thing with Garoppolo that I side with Bill on. He was looking out for the team and for the next decade. And I think they may have fractured that. And we may see some of that this year, you can argue. But I think Bill's job is to do what's best for the team on the field. And unfortunately, it got bitter and the divorce happened. And it was never going to work out. And my opinion is Brady didn't want to be here and Belichick didn't want Brady. That's the bottom line. And there's nothing you can do when both parties want to move on. And they did. And as a non-Patriot, non-diehard Patriot fan, you kind of want success for both of them, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I am a very diehard Patriots fan, and I still want Tom to succeed. Just given the guy that he is, and, you know, I know how much winning means to him, and I want to see him win a championship, and I can kind of claim it as a seventh championship in a way.
Yeah. Hey, you don't blame me, Ryan. That's Ryan Beatty here. He's our resident basketball guy, but talking a little pigskin with us here on the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast. NFL Championship Weekend. Continue on a couple more tidbits about the Tampa Bay Green Bay game. The Bucs are the only team that Rodgers has thrown more interceptions than touchdowns against in his career. He's thrown 9 picks and 8 touchdowns. Just the trend, just throwing it out there. And another trend, Green Bay quarterback Jaire Alexander lined up across Mike Evans on 19 of 28 snaps in Week 6. And we know Antonio Brown's out. Evans had 1 reception on 1 target in that Week 6 game. Interesting. Throw it out there. Matchups. Antonio Brown not playing today. I've heard a little mixed emotion. Brady's not going to focus on him. That could be good for the rest of the receiving core. But with Antonio Brown not playing today, I think you don't have to account for him because he would be on the field. Does that favor Green Bay and Tampa Bay in your opinion?
I don't think it's going to change much. We've seen guys like the Johnson guy that they have. They got Scotty Miller.
Tyler.
These are two guys that have stepped up when AB has not been on the field. And that offense has too much star power. I want to see Godwin not drop any balls today. Yeah, they got Cameron Brate. Gronk's obviously a red zone target. Mike Evans could have a big day. He's got a tough matchup. Jaire Alexander is probably the best corner in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to be a shootout. The biggest thing about the game in my opinion is the defense of the Buccaneers. You know, they got a great linebacker core. They got a good defensive line and okay secondary. I don't want to say they're great. But can they just stop Devontae Adams? I mean, I think they just need to double him the whole game. Get him.
Agreed.
Get him chipped off the line of scrimmage. Make the Packers beat you in a different way. It's amazing that he gets two touchdowns every game. And it's just something that I don't see how defenses don't plan for.
He's on another level, Ryan. I mean, that's the key, and I agree. If you take the best player on the field today away if you're the Tampa Bay defense, and it starts with him. If Robert Tonyan gets you a couple of touchdowns or gets you a score, you do it. But you can't let Devontae Adams beat you, because you're right. You say what you want about defenses and how they play. His consistency this year has told me one thing, that he is on another level right now as a receiver. Proverbial zone, call it, but he is just, you can't stop him now. You can only hope to contain him. Where have you heard that before? But they have to neutralize Devontae Adams today in order to win this game. I'm not so sure they can do that. And if he gets off to a good start, we're going to know a lot the first couple of series of this game as to if it's going to be a run-oriented game. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. We'll see what happens with this game, but it could go either way that way. And is it going to be – I mean, both games look like they're going to be shootouts, but I'm not going to be shocked if these games will hit the under. It just could be that type of game. It could be a defensive game today. To Darius Smith, you talk about Rodgers not being able to get to the next level the past few years. He's got a defense now led by this guy. You talk about a stud on the defense. He's going for a 7th straight game with a quarterback sack today. So he's pretty tough to contain as well on the defense. You're going to have players step up and in the limelight today and under the bright lights who are really going to make names for themselves either way. And, you know, be it a Scotty Miller, be it a Tonyan, be it a Aaron Jones. We know Devontae Adams is a stud, but there's going to be some player today that will jump off the page and provide a, wow, this guy's pretty darn good on that part. Leonard Fournette is my key with Tampa, because he's had a pretty good postseason. 5 career playoff games, 6 touchdowns, 525 yards from scrimmage, and he was a guy who was a healthy scratch for a couple of weeks. He's got a little juice in him, man. I like what I see from Leonard Fournette, because he's running with a little anger, and that could really bode well for that offense.
Yeah, and that Bucs offensive line really has come together in the last couple of games. I think back to both regular season matchups against New Orleans, and they just got absolutely dominated by that defensive line. And last week we didn't see that. Brady was pretty much untouched for most of the game.
Right.
And that's really the key to success. I mean, Brady does not play well when he's got people in his face as anyone. You know, that's a tough thing to ask. And if the Packers get a couple sacks, it's going to be a nerve-wracking feeling. It's all up to that Bucs offensive line and ditto for the Green Bay Packers. If, you know, Ndamukong Suh, we know his track record with Aaron Rodgers. He gets in his face early. That's going to put some fear in Aaron Rodgers' eyes. It's going to be an absolute brawl, and it's going to be a great game. You know, championship Sunday, nothing better.
I agree. And they're playing home, and his first championship game at home, which you think of with a good career he's had, it's his first one at home. And I talked to John Crow, one of our buddies here at the, and he does the Old School podcast. He made a really good point. He said, with that crowd last week at Lambeau, they were on a different level, and that's what could push your team over the edge. They've gone all year long without having crowds. That has to help them at home with this team, with 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people sounding like they're 80. Because you know that's a big advantage, especially in a year where you haven't had that crowd noise. So home field in these two games is a little bit above a notch, because they've had players, there's fans there now in Green Bay this game as well. It's the last one that they haven't had all year long. Kansas City's had players have fans in their stands for quite some time, but that could put Green Bay on another level today. But all right. What's your pick today? Tampa Bay at Green Bay. Who do you like and why?
Tampa Bay Bucs. You know, I've seen this too many times where Brady just continues to amaze me. The amount of AFC championships that, you know, went south at first and he found a way to come back. I can't go against this guy. He's just got winning in his blood, and he's going to have a great game today. And the Green Bay Packers are going to fall. It's just how I see it, and that's how it's going to go.
Right. As far as needing to win today, looking at the quarterbacks, I think Aaron Rodgers needs to win today. I really think he does. And I think he can handle the pressure. I think he's playing well. I think he's motivated. And I really think he knows his place in history. And he knows he needs that crooked number in Super Bowls. And he's my MVP going into this game. I don't think it changes. I think it's a close game. I think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers hold on today in about a four-point game. I'm not going to say the score, but I think Green Bay is going to win by four. And it's just looking at these, one of these two games, if not both, could be anticlimactic to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. But I like Green Bay in a close one at Lambeau Field, and Rodgers gets to the Super Bowl for the second time in his 10 years. All right, we're on the record. Again, Ryan Beatty, Johnny Sunchips here. We have the Unsung Sports Grid on the E2G Sports Network. It is Championship Sunday in the NFL, and we're breaking it down for you. For the remainder of this podcast, we are coming live to you on blogtalkradio.com, 10:41 Eastern Time on the 24th of January. We have the E2G Sports Network. Once again, if you want to join us, you can live at 516-387-1702. All right, moving right along. The nightcap starting at approximately 6:40, the Buffalo Bills. We are talking 11-1 since week six matchup against Kansas City, in which they lost. They are going to, again, face the Chiefs and a lot different Bills team in week six, Ryan, that they lost to. Josh Allen, you could argue that was his worst performance. But outside of a Hail Mary pass in Arizona, against Arizona, they could be on a 12-game winning streak, and they are rolling on all cylinders. And, oh, by the way, they're playing house money today as the number two seed.
Yeah, it's been amazing, you know, watching the Bills' journey. I'm sure a lot of fans in Buffalo right now have in the back of their mind the four Super Bowl slump that they've been in. I'm really rooting for the Bills, just given what that fan base has gone through. And, you know, they have a lot of hope right now. Josh Allen has been their savior.
Yep.
Today's going to be his biggest test. You know, can he do it on the biggest stage? You know, they were a play away from winning a playoff game last year. This franchise has come a long way. That defense, I think, is going to play well. They got some ball-hawking safeties and a good defensive line. I think they're going to give Mahomes a tough test. Bottom line, it's going to be a shootout. I think both these quarterbacks are going to throw the ball 50 times, and whoever brings down the most catches is going to win. These offenses are very good and tough to stop.
Agreed, and I think this could be a game where it comes down to who has the ball last could win it. So it could be clock management. Turnovers. Whoops, sorry about that. Yeah. Pardon me for that. So, it's interesting today, but Mahomes is the kid with the turf toe injury. And we talked about it at the onset of the program. That is not a easy injury to overcome. It seems to creep up on you. It's like a high ankle sprain. It's ligaments on the big toe. And Mahomes is going to be limited today. He's not 100%. How does that shake down with you? And that changes everything to me, his mobility, because talk about it like you did on the onset. He's a guy who can third and 12, scramble a little bit, get you that first down. We're not going to see that same guy today. Not to that extreme. It changes their offensive outlook from the quarterback position, Ryan.
Absolutely. And he's going to be slinging it. So if the Bills can get some pressure in his face and kind of cause him to throw an errant throw, they can turn him over once, twice. Twice, I think they win. Once, I think they have a great chance. And it's going to be just a game of mystery, because Pat Mahomes has always surprised us in his short career so far. He's played with injuries before.
Uh-huh.
This is a tough one, man. I think of my biggest childhood hero was LaDainian Tomlinson. Turf toe really ended him an entire season.
Yes.
So it's going to be a situation where he's moving on a cold ground in Kansas City, and that toe is going to be aggravating him.
No question. And I know Edward Solaire is likely to play to what extent, but to me, he changes that offense when he went out. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is what he is. Darrell Williams did well last week, but I think they need a layer to win. He could be the key to me offensively with this game today, with Pat Mahomes not being 100%. So we'll see how that shakes down and if he's going to play, to what effect, because it's first time in a long time since his hip and leg injury. Josh Allen versus the Chiefs in week six had the fewest pass yards and lowest completion percentage all year long. Like we said, we talked about before, 122 pass yards, completion percentage of just under 52%. The Chiefs have scored 22 points or less in three straight games, including the playoffs, longest span since 2017. They are going to have to score more points than 22 to win today, and that's going to be a tall task, even with the healthy Patrick Mahomes against a Buffalo Bill offense. Like you said, a ball-locking secondary, they can get at it, clicking on all cylinders and talented at many different positions. Travis Kelce in four career games versus the Bills has fewer than 70 receiving yards in each. A lot of intangible stuff going here either way.
Yeah, and I would really like to see the Buffalo Bills bring back that four wide receiver set, halfback draw. They ran that a lot of times this year and had a lot of success against it. I think back to the last time the Chiefs lost in an AFC championship, New England just ran right down their throat. And I think that's what the Bills need to look for in a study, and really don't abandon that run game right away.
No.
I think the Chiefs have a good secondary. I don't think they have a good front seven. And that's where the Bills can really win this game, is getting those first down, second down, tough runs.
Agreed. He's Ryan Beatty, Johnny Sundrich here on the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast, NFL Championship Sunday edition. We are the Unsung Sports Grid, and we are the E2G Sports Network. Once again, if you want to join Ryan and I to talk a little football, 516-387-1702. Again, 516-387-1702. A couple more notes. Since 2017, the Bills have allowed 18 points per game versus the Chiefs. You talk about trends. It's as few as by any team to play two or more games in that span. Tre'Davious White has a pass defended in three of four postseason games. He is going to be all over that Chiefs receiving court today. He scares the bejesus out of me, along with defensive end Jerry Hughes. Again, two guys and a great multifaceted defense that can get at it and change games. Two sacks last week in the division run against Baltimore. Just another testament to how deep this Buffalo Bill team is, and they're ready. And you talked about it on the onset. You talked about their climb. You know, 4 years ago, McDermott took this team over. There were pieces there. The coaching staff, Josh Allen. I mean, there were so many people down on this guy because he made the critical mistake. Didn't have a good head coming out of college. Had all the tools. Couldn't get it together mentally. What they've done to make this guy a better quarterback is really impressive for a guy. It just goes to show you what Brian Daboll can do. He's going to be a hothead coaching candidate. I don't even know if he's going to get a job this year because I think it's what, not too many left at all. Maybe a couple, but what they've done to, you talk about, getting to the playoffs. Last year, they were one player from winning their game against Houston. They made that gradual climb, Ryan, where, it's bits and pieces. So there's a lot to build on going into this game. If they lose today, it's still a great season. It's still something to build on. But what they've done with Josh Allen to make him a better quarterback at this level is a real testament to how they really have a hold in this team, putting pieces around him to maybe have him execute and not make the mistakes, and supporting cast, the ensemble that is a Buffalo Bills offense, is really a really incredible thing to watch if you go back to just four short years ago when they didn't have all these pieces.
Absolutely. And, what if they go out and get an every down running back? I mean, Devin Singletary, I think he's had a good year. I don't think he's had a great year. And if they go and get a running back in the offseason, win or lose today, this offense is just going to get better and better. Now that they know they have a couple pieces that they can work with, the Bills' future is bright. And like you said, today is not a day where it's boom or bust. This team's going to get better and better. And unfortunately, I think they have a lock on the AFC East for a while.
I agree. And we have a guest caller on the line. And he's a guest because he's a special guest on the old school podcast of yours truly. John Crow is with us. Johnny, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Chips? Good morning, Ryan, and welcome to Championship Sunday. And I don't know if it's an omen, but I am without power this morning.
Are you kidding me?
What does that say for a Championship Sunday? Get working on that National Grid. We got games to watch.
Boy, I'll tell you, man, the people are calling that office really fast. Well, sorry, when did it go out, by the way?
Let's see, about 9:30 this morning. So we're expecting to get it back at some point in the afternoon. But, hey, as long as it's back for 3 o'clock, that's all as well, right?
That's all that matters. And he's John Crow, Ryan Beatty here on the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast. All right, John, let's get your take on these games, if you will. And Ryan, you can join in on this as well. Tampa Bay, Green Bay, let's start with that. And we talked about Rodgers with you earlier in the week and how he realizes his place in history. But you're looking at Brady. Who's got more to lose today at quarterback? I mean, who has to win in your opinion?
Well, who has to win? I mean, Brady doesn't have to win anything. The dude is the GOAT. You know, as we talked about earlier this week, you know, 6 Super Bowl titles, 9 Super Bowl appearances. He's the best of all time. Now, he, of course, on his own personal level, wants to beat Michael Jordan. So he absolutely wants to, 1, get 7 for himself. 2, make history as hosting the only team to host a Super Bowl in their home stadium. And 3, wants to stick it to Bill Belichick by winning a Super Bowl without him. So, you know, Rodgers has more on the line today because he's always thought of as a very good quarterback. But as you guys know, once you hit 2 Super Bowl championships, that's Hall of Fame, no-brainer. You're now in the conversation of the greatest of all time. But, hey, you know, I got Rodgers. I made my picks on GoLocalProv.com. Mm-hmm. I got the Packers and the Chiefs going today, but this is a heart versus head game today. I kind of agree with Ryan a little bit, and I'm very afraid as a Patriots fan that, hey, Brady's going to find a way. He always seems to have done that. And, you know, going through what everything that's happened in the last 12 months, going through Brees, going through Rodgers, winning a Super Bowl, wouldn't that just be the cherry on top of the sundae for him? I mean, I think the Packers will win, but in no way will I be surprised if Tampa's holding a trophy at the end of this day.
No, John, and what it does, too, it separates the two, I mean, for the rest of time. Because, you know, you talk about, you know, it was a Belichick, was a Brady. In my opinion, it was just a great culmination. It was a great marriage for 20 years. But now, having separated, who's gonna separate themselves from the two? Can Brady win without Belichick? He's one game closer to doing that, and vice versa. So that umbilical cord is cut. Brady, if Brady can win without Belichick, boom, there's the link right there. That chain is broken.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I mean, just look at the weapons they have on offense. It's embarrassing. Even without Antonio Brown today with that knee injury, you know, I mean, playoff Lenny, Ronald Jones in the backfield. You got Evans. You got Godwin. You got Gronk. You got Brady. I mean, and that's not even talking about their rookie wide receivers that have made key catches along the way. I mean, it's just a wealth of riches. And, you know, it goes back to what you guys were talking about a few minutes ago. Can that offensive line keep out Clark and Smith of Green Bay? I mean, it's a different battle today than what the Bucs saw last week. You know, I mean, they didn't have to worry about the Saints putting up 27, 35, 40 points because they knew Drew Brees couldn't chuck it with all those injuries. They didn't have to guard the field 20 yards down. They just gobbled up Michael Thomas. He was a non-factor. So it will be interesting to see how this game unfolds. You know, I don't think either team is going to be able to run the ball that well, but who runs it enough? That's all it needs, because we know Brady needs to play action pass to set up those deep shots. So will they be able to run it enough to keep the Packers honest to set up those shots down the field? On the other side, will Green Bay be able to set that up for Aaron Jones? And Dylan and Williams enough to get those deep shots, to shake Devontae Adams free, to get Lazard standing down the field. That'll be interesting to see. And, of course, it's always the weather. You know, before the power went out, I saw it was, you know, snowing like a mother down there in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that affects it, you know, when it comes to 3 o'clock. But it will be interesting to see how it unfolds today. And on the other side, I'm wondering what Brian Daboll has up his sleeve. Because I don't see the Bills chucking it 55 times. They have got to be able to run it a little bit. Yeah. I know Mahomes is hurt with the turf toe, and that hurts like a mother. But they've got to be able to contain them. I mean, the Chiefs can rely. They know they can run the ball. They ran for, 240 on the Bills in Week 6?
Right.
They know they can rely on that, to kind of protect Mahomes a little bit. Can the Bills do enough of that so they don't put Allen in harm's way 40, 50 times this afternoon.
JC and Ryan, I'll just ask JC a question after, but JC, I did want to get your opinion on the turf toe injury, because that's one of those injuries that, you know, it doesn't sound really, really debilitating, but it can be. And if he's not as mobile, he's not 100%. We know that. I mean, how mobile he is could really determine how that offense runs and how they gear. And this could be a game where Edwards-Helaire, who's scheduled to play, to what effect is this, we don't know. But your opinion on that, because that changes things with me a little bit, because that turf toe injury, man, that's like a high ankle sprain. That could, as the game progresses, that could take him out of the game a little bit more so. And if it's a close game and he has to win it, and Buffalo can find a way to neutralize the receivers and the weapons on that offense and kind of leave it more in Patrick Mahomes, as crazy as it sounds, if you will, with a turf toe injury, that could bode well for Buffalo on the road in Kansas City today.
Oh, no question. We've all talked to many athletes that have said, listen, turf toe doesn't sound like anything, but it can put guys out for weeks. Mm-hmm. And it is so uncomfortable. And when you get down to one game, and let's face it, Mahomes' game is based on mobility, being able to extend the play, getting out. And then if he needs to and he can't find someone open, he jumps it out and runs for 10, 15, 20 yards. He's going to be limited in that. Not saying he can't do it, but he's going to be more limited today just because of the sheer pain in it. And, you know, I mean, we all know when you're not feeling that well, you can't get up to top speed. You can't produce it 100%. So that will be a factor today, no doubt. And, of course, the Chiefs will rely on that. They'll know going in how limited that is. So early on, those first couple of series, how Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy call this game will speak volumes on how it will play out later.
Ryan, your thoughts on that, too, as you talk about it. The Chiefs can be run on, and Buffalo came out last week, didn't throw a pass in the first quarter. So they went, you know, was pass first, run a distant second at their offensive MO, at least at the start of last week. Because the Chiefs can be run on. We've seen that, Ryan. You foresee the Bills coming up to try and establish a run game to at least control that line of scrimmage?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the Ravens' defensive line was worrisome to them, and they didn't think they could run on them. And I think they have a completely different game plan today. And it's also, you need to kill some clock. You can't give Pat Mahomes, you know, 10 possessions today. You need to kill some clock and make sure that you're winning the time of possession, because that offense is too scary to the point where if you get two straight three and outs, you could be down 14-0 very easily.
Right. Yeah. So, JC, it's you're going chalk today, right?
I am going chalk, and I want to put this question out to both of you. If you're the Bills, I know last week they put Tre'Davious White on Mark Andrews a lot. What do you do with him? Do you put him on Travis Kelce today, and then let you kind of, you know, attack Hill and Watkins and everybody else with a little double coverage, a little zone, a little bit? But where do you put Tre'Davious White today?
Ryan, you can respond, and I'll give you my response after.
I think you're going to see a lot of 5 DBs, 6 DBs sets where they – I don't know if it's going to be Tre'Davious White. It might be Jordan Poyer, someone that needs to be able to go toe-for-toe with Kelce. But the thing is, if you put White on Kelce, you know, that opens up Tyreek Hill. And we saw what he could do against the Bucks in 200 yards and a half. So it's a pick-your-poison type of offense, but I agree. Travis Kelce is the go-to guy, and they need to be able to contain him a little bit. So they're not going to be able to stop him. I think they're going to throw a lot at him, you know, chip him at the line with some linebackers, with some safety coverage. I don't know. Travis Kelce's a tough guy to stop, and if you want to take your number one corner and put him on him, it's just Tyreek Hill worries me more than Travis Kelce, knowing that, you know, two plays can really lose you the game, and Tyreek Hill will beat anybody in front of him. So you need your best guy on him.
I kind of agree with that. I'm gonna factor Mahomes' health in this as well. I think if you're the Bills, you put Tre'Davious White and you neutralize Kelce as much as you can. I think he can do that. We've talked about Kelce in four career games where the Bills has fewer than 70 yards, so you can get in his head early. We've seen it happen in the past, although he's playing at a different level this season. But you take away that middle, it forces Mahomes to think a little bit more, to keep him in the pocket and to matriculate and watch what happens downfield. The longer you keep him in motion and keep him away from dumping the pass off two or three step drops, go over to Kelce 6-7 yards a pop, and maybe run like some yards after the catch. You take that middle away, and that bodes in the favor of the Bills, because, and it behooves them as well, because of the health of with the toe injury that Mahomes has. I think it puts a little more pressure on a less than 100% quarterback with a turf toe if he has to spend a little more time in that pocket, maybe run around a little bit to where you don't want him to. So I think that Buffalo takes away the middle of that field with Zadarius Smith on Kelce. That's a notch in the favor of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I agree with you. What storyline are you guys rooting for? I mean, there are a plethora. It's Brady, you know, dominance first, you know, team to host the Super Bowl. The Bills going back to Tampa to rewrite history. Mm-hmm. Rodgers with a second Super Bowl. And then, of course, Chiefs with a chance to repeat for the first time since the 03-04 Pats. I mean, what storyline are you guys rooting for today?
Great, Ryan.
I'm rooting for Brady first, but if that doesn't happen, I want to see the Bills. I think the Bills fans deserve it more than anyone. They've stuck with that team, and I really want to see kind of a new champion. And I've really followed this Bills team, and I like them a lot. Mahomes is going to be in 5 Super Bowls. You know, that's going to happen. I want to see something new this year. I first for Brady, but if that doesn't happen, I want to see the Bills.
Obviously, I'm picking Kansas City with my head and my heart. But the best storyline to me is if Buffalo wins, because I still think one of the greatest achievements ever, maybe the best ever, were the Bills of the 90s. It went to 4 straight regardless of losing. No team has ever done that. And we get 2 weeks of that. And how does the franchise handle it? And I think more importantly, a generation doesn't know what the Bills went through as a franchise back then. The storyline to me would be, the best storyline would be for Buffalo to win, and everybody finally would give that team their due respect, because there are a lot, you know, and when time passes, we realize what a great achievement that was. And if the Bills are in the Super Bowl, people would really, really gravitate to them, and it'd be that underdog sort of mentality because of the futility in the past with a team that, in my opinion, John, was one of the best teams ever assembled in all of football. They just didn't get the win, and they're never looked at as one of those teams. That's the best storyline to me. And no matter who it's Tampa, and then you have again, on the other side, it's Buffalo Tampa Bay, because you bring the AFC East rivalry back with Tampa Bay with Brady against his old nemesis, or the old team he used to rip up on in Buffalo. Buffalo Green Bay is a better storyline. I'm picking the Chiefs and Green Bay. I'm going chalk as well.
How about this? If Brady makes it to Tampa for the Super Bowl, if you're a CBS, you got to make the phone call to Bill Belichick to appear on your pregame show now.
Oh, absolutely.
He will absolutely not do that, though.
Yeah, you're right. That's the number one storyline right there.
I can think of 1,000 things Bill Belichick would do over that.
What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I agree with you. I don't think he ever, you know, for not one second says, you know, I'm going to do that. But wouldn't it just be Bill to say, you know what, screw you, I'm going to do it anyway?
Dude, at this point, why not? He has nothing to lose. JC, I want to run something by you, too, before you go. I spoke with Jarvis Green last night. We kind of met up and talked about a little business, a little pleasure here. And I asked him a simple question, and I posed this to Ryan. I said, Jarvis, back-to-back Super Bowls for him. I said, what's tougher, to get to the top or to stay on top? And he didn't hesitate. He said staying on top. And here's tell me about your opinion of Brady. The fact that he's had this vigor, this will, this drive, after getting to the top so many times is not only a testimony to his athletic prowess, but his mental stability and wanting to keep doing it again. We've seen athletes and teams, even when they lose the big game, there's something satisfactory because they got to that level. To do it as many times as he has, and if he goes to a 10th Super Bowl today with a chance to win his 7th, that is a testament to how much he is a competitor and a drive to just never let up.
Oh, no question. And I'll agree with Jarvis. It's getting there again is so much harder because, I mean, there are things that have to go your way through one season. But for you to be that dominant to get there in multiple seasons and win multiple championships and to stay that relevant for 20 years is simply amazing. And kudos to him. I mean, he is the greatest of all time. Because it's not just a physical thing with him. It never has been. It's been about that mental game. It's about being able to diagnose what's going to happen before the play even gets off. Something we sorely missed in New England this year with Cam Newton because he couldn't do it. So I think a lot of times in watching, you know, it'll be fascinating in the Super Bowl with Tony Romo, you know, if Brady's there, because of the thought process, they get it. They see the game much faster before the play develops, and in a way much slower because it is just at a different pace for them than different players. And, hey, let's be honest. First Super Bowl, Brady had a tremendous lot of help. That last Super Bowl in New England against the Rams, it was defense. So you got to have all that around you. But he has just been at an amazing level, above nobody else. And, you know, actually I should say above everybody else. But, yeah, I mean, he's just the greatest of all time. And, it sucks for a Patriots fan to see him in another place continuing to dominate. But you knew it was going to happen.
Right.
It's just we thank him for his 20 years here. We just wish it could have been 21, 22. But it just wasn't in the cards. The relationship couldn't stand it.
Yeah, and then, you know, hindsight being 2020, if he was still with the Patriots, right, what would his situation be now? I mean, it wouldn't be like this. So you're right. You're trying to be happy for both, and you did that. But I think he's an incredible athlete, and I respect him more for what he does in his drive at the age of 43.
Let me ask you this. Did you guys see the report about the Stephon Diggs trade? How the Patriots had a chance to go back after the Bills' offer and either match it or surpass it? Think about that. If Stephon Diggs comes here, who knows?
No
Let's
question.
Think of the fortunes of both teams, how that would be changed amongst it. And, you know, it's, you know, we go back to the moves you make and the moves you don't make, how much they help and hurt you. And, you know, a year later, the Patriots are still looking for their Diggs and they're still looking for their quarterback.
No question, man. They're a long way away, John. JC, man, it's been great to talk to you, dude.
Enjoy the games today, boys.
You too, buddy. Be well.
Hopefully you can as well.
Yeah, you will.
I hope your power comes back soon.
Yeah, man.
Me too. Have a good
one,
guys.
Jason. Happy health. That's JC, one of our boys. Yeah, Ryan, made some good points there about Brady, and we talked about that too. But, you know, you talked about, before we get into it, I want to hear your basketball takes as well. So I want to just get your pick on this game. Tell me who's going to win. Tell me what your biggest reason is and why. I know Buffalo's a great story, and you may be picking them, but tell me officially, you're on your record, you're on the truth-o-meter, Buffalo or Kansas City today in tonight's nightcap in the AFC?
The Buffalo Bills. They're going to shock the world today. I think it's going to come down to defense. If they can get one or two turnovers, it's a lock for them. I think their offense puts up 30 points tonight. It's just being able to get that last possession and, you know, run out the clock.
These games have all the makings of instant classics, if you will. I'm sticking with the Chiefs because of the home field advantage. It's going to be close. I will tell you this. If they score 22 points or less, they're not winning this game tonight. So they need to score points. However they can, turn the ball over, four sacks. Need a big game from Chris Jones and Frank Clark, who's been lights out in the postseason career-wise. So I'm picking the Chiefs in a close game. It'll be bittersweet if Buffalo wins because I have a soft spot in my heart. What we talked about the Bills and the futility in their history of their franchise, but it'd be a great story for a Buffalo fan base that is about as hardcore and as dedicated as you can get. Now, before we move right along, I talked about them earlier in the show. Again, the Cozy Nook Restaurant guys, they're closed Sunday and Monday, but 508-675-5455, 645 State Road in Westport. Taking care of the local community, support your local businesses and their restaurants. They're struggling. They need our help. Again, Stanley Manchester, Jeff and Cheryl Evans, 48 years, and they're churning it out. I talked to Jeff yesterday, and it's a grind, man. And these guys are putting their passion into it and their soul. The home-cooked meals using their fresh ingredients. Go to CozyNook.com, check out their menu, like them on Facebook, follow them on Instagram. You will not be disappointed. All you have to do, the worst thing you're going to do, is satisfy your hunger, and you will in a big way. You will not regret it. CozyNook.com, check it out today. All right, Ryan. We talked about football, and I haven't talked a lot of basketball with you personally, but there's little stuff going on around the league, and you're a basketball guy. I want to pump – I know you have some stuff going on. You have some articles coming up. But I want to get your situation, and we talked about it before the show. On the Brooklyn Nets, because the James Harden, a lot of Eagles going on in that team. It's been a few games now. They've gotten off to a really good start. Everything's rosy in Brooklyn. But your thoughts on this team and what – Harden's a hothead. We know what Kyrie is, a space shot. Durant's a guy who's just a flat-out bleeping stud. A lot of moving parts in this. How do you think this shakes down? And this is almost like must-see TV if you're not only an NBA fan, but just a sports fan in general. I want your take on Brooklyn Nets from afar and what you might see from this team moving forward.
Their offense is dynamic. You know, they're going to put up 120 points a game, just given all the star power that they have on their team. But I don't think they're going to be champions this year. I don't think they're going to have the defense that it takes to grind out games. And we saw Colin Sexton go for 42 against this team with a double overtime, beat him by 15. I think they really are going to miss Jarrett Allen and being able to defend the rim. I think about their lineup down the stretch. Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Jeff Green, and Joe Harris. Those are five good players, but all limited defensively. And maybe Durant and Green. But if you play a player that's 6'10", like a Giannis, that's going to be a matchup nightmare, because they don't have the interior defense to defend at a high level. And we'll talk about the relationship between Kyrie and James Harden. It seems like KD's kind of the tweener right now, that's kind of hearing both sides. And I saw in that first game, James Harden missed a shot down the stretch. It was a contested three, a shot that he's known to hit. And Kyrie immediately chirped him. You know, they called a timeout, and James Harden looked like he was like, dude, what are you talking about? I do this all the time. And KD, I look at this moment as Kyrie saying, I'm the guy here, like, know your role. And KD's in an awkward spot of, guys, I just want to win. What do we need to do? I think it's going to be an imploding season in Brooklyn, just given the personalities that they have on the roster. And I think back to the way our USA basketball team is structured. We have 12 stars that don't really know their role, and we lose games to a Lithuania, to a Spain, because the roles aren't solidified and guys don't really know where they fit in. That's where I see James Harden right now. He had 8 points last night.
Right.
I don't think he's done that in the last 5 years. You know, it's an interesting situation, and it's going to need a lot. And Steve Nash has his hands full. They need a lot of stuff worked out if they want to get to that next level.
Now, you talked about winning and stuff and losing, but I'm on the belief that the longer this team wins, I mean, the better it'll be. Obviously, you still could see egos arise, but it would be a bad optic for what if this team continues to win and win the way they're doing, regardless of who's scoring. But as long as there's a W, they walk up the court with a W. It would just behoove every player to just be quiet and kind of move on, because it's just a bad optic for any player to kind of sound off if they're winning. But you're right. If this team loses a couple of games, then it's going to be finger pointing. And it may not take like a 7 out of 8 game losing streak to do this. You're talking at a blowout loss here. I'm talking at a blowout loss where a Harden could put up what I did last night and get, you know, single digit points. It will not take a long losing streak for this team to implode. But the longer they win, my point is, if this team wins more than they lose, is it better for them, or do you still see stuff imploding because of the egos, regardless of whether they win or not?
I think you're absolutely right. If they string together a 5-game win streak, drop one, another 3-game win streak, and you know everything's headed in the right direction, I would hope. I mean, these are two of the most unpredictable guys in the world, James Harden and Kyrie Irving. I would hope that they would be able to be like, all right, I'm not putting up the same stats, I'm not getting the last possession, but we're winning. And I would hope that that is their motive. the thing about Kyrie Irving is I can see James Harden being okay with it as long as they're winning. Kyrie Irving has been on good franchise after good franchise, and nothing seems to satisfy him. He had
right.
LeBron James as a teammate. They came off a world championship, and he still had an issue with it. That's the best of the best, and I don't think Brooklyn gets a championship this year. So what's going to happen to that team if, you know, things aren't going in Kyrie's way? That's the biggest thing is,
yeah.
is Kyrie going to be happy at the end of the day? I think KD has proven that he doesn't need to be the guy. You know, he was in Golden State where Clay and Steph had their nights and he chipped in, and he's
mm-hmm.
all about winning.
Right.
I think James Harden's ring hungry right now, and he just needs a ring to be happy. I don't know what Kyrie Irving is looking to prove. You see it every year. He's unhappy with his 2K rating. Like, dude, why does that matter?
Exactly.
He goes on a 2-week hiatus and doesn't really give a reason. If it was personal, it's personal. But there's a lot of speculation that he just doesn't have the drive. And, you know, if he's not happy, I think he's a matchup nightmare for that locker room.
He is. And Irving's what you talk about, and I think, you know, I've been a little older than you, and athletes sometimes fall from grace in this city, in this area. But never has an athlete come with, and I'm speaking about Kyrie Irving here in Boston on the E2G Sports Network, never has an athlete risen and fallen as quickly as he did. And when he was in Boston, there was a part of me and that just kind of thought he was kind of making it easy for him to get to leave town and have everyone hate him. Because it's easier to leave a town when everyone hates you than when everyone likes you when you leave. Because they're going to hate you when you're on the other side. If they hate you when they're in town, they're not going to care when you go. Because they hate you anyway when you're wearing Celtic green. I always thought that. He was kind of premeditating his departure by spewing all the nonsense. He's a very calculated guy and he's a smart guy. But now a couple years removed, this guy is just maybe the most self-centered athlete, at least by what he says, than I have ever witnessed. And the rise and fall in his short tenure in Boston was unlike any other I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest reason why Kyrie Irving was not willing to make it work in Boston was the rise of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the writing on the wall as he wasn't going to be the centerpiece of this team, and he's not interested in that. That's why I was very interested to see that him and KD went to the same team, knowing his background. You want to know the craziest part about Kyrie Irving's career? When he was on the Cleveland Cavaliers and he had nobody else, it was just
mm-hmm.
him before LeBron, we didn't hear any of this. They were a 20 and 62 team, and we didn't hear anything about Kyrie Irving being upset. That is the craziest part to me about his entire career.
Can you hear that again, Omar?
Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah. No, I agree. I wanted to get your thoughts on Kyrie Irving as well. Definitely. But, yeah, it's crazy. But that's going to be just a developing situation. Again, that's must-see. That's reality TV every night with them. So I had to get your basketball thoughts on that, Ryan. But that's pretty much going to do it here. Ryan, I certainly want to thank you for filling in. We talked some really good football today. I love your passion with basketball, and I love having you on. Anytime, man, you want to come on, we'll do it.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You bet.
Let's get to it. A very exciting Sunday.
I'm excited. Don't lose power, man. Don't lose power. Keep it on.
I'll try not to.
All right, he's Ryan Beatty. I'm Johnny Sundry. That's going to do it here on the E2G Sports Podcast for this Sunday, January 24th, 2021. Folks, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening in, whether you do it live, whether you do it online, blogtalkradio.com, our Facebook page. Again, we're the Unsung Sports Grid, otherwise known as the E2G Sports Network. Keep this number in your contacts, 516-387-1702, 516-387-1702. We are the Unsung Sports Grid. It is NFL Championship Sunday, my favorite football day of the year. Take care, be well, be safe, enjoy your NFL Sunday, and we will talk to you over the week. Take care. Arrivederci. See you, Ryan.
Later.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we'll just go. go on the side. I did
because my phone just went off like three times. Just shut off. I had to go. I don't know why it didn't play the whole thing. So I missed the Cozy Nook thing.
I did two reads. I'll get it for you. So here's what I'll do. Actually, I'm on the air still.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, always edit that out.